Number 23 is from the Employee Benefits Administrator of Department of Human Resources, submitting an informational report regarding the Dependent Verification Program Project. Excuse me. Is informational unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Whatever he needs, I vote aye. Okay.
What?
Good man. Good man.
Supervisor Mayo. Acknowledge Supervisor Mayo's presence.
Out of order.
Mr. Hancheck, good afternoon. Item number 23, please.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and thank you, Supervisor Mayo, for the vote of confidence. The first item is just that informational report, basically bringing some closure to a dependent verification project that we started back in 2011. As you may recall, this got delayed a number of times, largely due to some of the legislative changes that were happening right about that time frame that had indirect impact on this. What I'm pleased to share is that we've completed the audit of over 9,300 covered dependents under our plan, collected verification information, and we removed through the appeals process 707 dependents who could not be verified. This does not count an additional 192 records that we cleaned up just as duplications, county couples, things that didn't necessarily impact county cost in any meaningful way, but were just good housekeeping to begin with. This is actually above where we were originally projecting. It's a removal rate of about 7.6%. We were estimating in the 4-6% range. And will certainly have a positive impact on healthcare costs for 2013. The ongoing process for this will continue. This is to ensure that our records never get out of sync again with the status and the eligibility of the population. Basically, on a quarterly basis, we'll be doing a similar audit process with everyone who's newly enrolled into the system as of the close of the quarter. So we can have data integrity throughout our record systems going forward as well. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions that the committee may have.
Committee members, any questions? Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to lightly commend the process. This was a project that was already going on when I joined the board. I was very skeptical because one of the first calls that I received this past fall in relation to this item were people who were concerned that they were going to lose their coverage, and you know, they didn't understand how to handle that, people who were employees and constituents of mine. I only received that one call in reference to this project, and I was actually pleasantly surprised that there was not an influx of more calls in November and December when the appeals process began. So between the Employee Benefits Division and the contractor that provided the service, I think they did a great job at fielding, funneling complaints and concerns, you know, especially looking at what was it, 707 people that were being removed weren't calling at least my office. I don't know about my colleagues. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Stamp.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With these removals, how much responsibility is on the employee? Is this a violation?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, we had a lot of debate back and forth over how to treat people who were found ineligible and ultimately how to treat the employees who were responsible for enrolling them. And we eventually settled through a number of discussions with the board on basically assuming that it was unintentional, that there was no intent to defraud, that it was an honest mistake. And that we're just correcting it going forward. Either they didn't understand the rules or just didn't realize they still had someone covered. So there, in a sense, it was basically like an amnesty program.
Okay. I wish the IRS felt the same way. I just got my first dependent.
For most of the 707 that were removed, were most of them removed because of age?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, that was one of the primary reasons, students who had aged out. And the most common reason was just simply that people failed to respond, did not return information, like birth certificates and so on, so they're presumed ineligible because they didn't validate it. Essentially, there isn't a lot of incentive for people to come forward and say, nope, I'm not eligible. Instead, the easiest thing for them to do is just not respond and let the process take its course.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you. I wish I had similar experience to Supervisor Alexander, but I actually got a lot of calls, this was one of the most contentious things, and I did talk to the department, and you were very proactive. But the other thing I want to say kind of for the record is that I feel like if there is a next time that we were ever to do this again, we need a better screening process for the company that we select. I was, frankly, more than a little embarrassed that I had a constituent of mine call who had actually CCAP'd this firm before sending his information to them and found that they had a lot of difficulty in the city and the state that they were from, that there were boxes of people's records had been thrown away behind their business with the personal information still attached, Social Security numbers, birth certificates, insurance information, all of that, which is very distressing to me. And again, I was more than a little embarrassed having been one of the people who approved that contract, because I believed that the department would have done, you know, a simple Google of, you know, of the company, although I'm sure it's not required. And granted, any one of us could have done the same thing. But I think that there were enough significant concerns with that company that when people called me and said, I don't want to send my, you know, my birth certificates, my children's birth certificates, our Social Security information across state lines. In addition, I don't want to send them to this company that has these issues. You know, really, what's your defense? I mean, I wouldn't want to do, you know, I wouldn't want to do that either. And so I encourage them to instead to scan and send their things via email, hoping that that's safer. But in today's, you know, what today is technology, it may or may not be. And so, in addition, you know, I had a couple people complain, although it wasn't a great expense, but that depends on how many children you have. Some people needed to go get certified copies of birth certificates and other things that they, you know, there was cost incurred by our employees who had to do this. And again, hopefully the savings makes it worth their while with that. But these are just all things that I'd like to note in case we were ever to do this again in the future. You know, I kind of wondered after the fact why this company maybe couldn't come here for a day and actually do on-site verifications and just, you know, throw a table up in front of the lunchroom or, you know, out at BHD or wherever, you know, highway division, wherever we had the room, and just say, drive over there with your stuff if you're not comfortable, you know, sending it in the mail. Because in today's day and age, I think we can all agree that optimally you wouldn't want to send your stuff to people in other states and via mail. So that's just my observations, Mr. Chairman. And again, I, you know, I appreciate that. I'm actually glad that we have the outcome that we do have, because I was worried that it was going to be even less than that. But I'd also be curious to know is how many of those 775 people who were removed, dependents that were removed, how many of those happened within that 4 months where we sent out that initial notice saying, hey, we're going to be doing this verification, and how many actually happened during the verification process? Because if the majority of those happened within that first 4 months, while people were anticipating, you know, that they were going to be audited, if you will, as to their dependents, then maybe in the future we can just, you know, we could try making that period a little longer, a little shorter, and hope that people would do it on their own, just giving them that opportunity. because, again, I did get a call from a couple people that said, yeah, I should have. I needed to do this on my own. Can I just do that? And then, you know, or wanted to know what the penalty was going to be if they, you know, if they came forward and said, yeah, you know, I'm sorry, my daughter's been out of school for a year and I just never took her off, or just questions like that. So again, I thought there's just a couple ways I think we could have made this less painful, and hopefully more secure
for our employees. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, how long is the contract with this company?
Mr. Chairman, supervisors, we have the contract for ongoing services running through 2013 and 2014.
If not, nothing else. Item number 25.